Rufus, what are you thinking of?
Oh, I was just thinking of all the years I wasted collecting stamps.
Live from the Nuka-Cola Theater, this is the award-winning Stamp Show Here Today. If you can dream it, we can collect it. Brought to you by the Southern Nevada Philatelic Research Center, a nonprofit 501c3 corporation for the advancement of philately. You can support this witless tosh by joining the Stamp Show Here Today community. The cost is only $10 for a lifetime membership. We are an APS-affiliated club. Listen to the end credits for information on joining. This is Cash.
And according to my Pip-Boy, this is Mark.
And I hold in my hand, because I think that somebody probably won't believe that I have this, I have a full set of Washington Bicentennial, the 1932 Washington Bicentennial.
Yep. It's got 704 to 715.
Right. And every single one of them has a certificate.
And I can verify, I see the certificates.
So we are going to discuss today when you should get your stamps certified and when you should not. Because this set of plate blocks that I just bought at the Arcadia Stamp Show, it catalogs $391.
Right. And there is zero doubt as to their authenticity.
Yes. I paid $100 for it because I buy stuff for about a quarter, and then I sell it on eBay for between 35 and 45%. Sometimes I get a little more. I offered the person, I said, how much? He said $100. And I said, well, everything's certified. It's got to be, you know, worth more than that. And he said, okay, 110. Now, just so you, everybody is listening, a certificate like this costs somewhere, this is PF, so I believe they're at $27.50 a cert. I think that's it. And there are 12 certificates. So they paid $300, $300 for a set of stamps that catalogs $391.
Right. And the plate blocks are not particularly well-centered.
Well, they are. They're nicer than normal.
But they're not even all the same configuration.
Yeah, it'd be great if like they were all upper lefts or something like that. Yeah. So we're going to discuss when you need a certificate and when you don't. And being that we work here at PSE, you know, you're going to expect us to say, yes, always send in your certs.
Right.
You know, send in everything. Send in everything. We are not going to do that because I'm retired. I get to play with stamps all day. This is not something that we really need the money for. We're going to tell you, surprisingly, not to send your stamps in. So I'm going to start it. Something that you need to send your stamps in for is if they are going to auction, like Kelleher or Siegel or Cherry Stone or anybody. And I apologize for everybody I left off. But if your stamps are going to auction and they plan on selling, now let's ignore catalog value. If the sale price on the stamp is going to be over about $150, it really benefits from having a cert. And if it's going to sell over $300, it needs a cert. It increases the value to the buyer. It allows the auction company to sell it with more comfort. And the sell-through rate on stamps that are certified is much higher than stamps that are not. So if you're planning on your stamps going to auction, you really want to look at, you know, getting them certified.
Yeah, you also get paid faster. Because if the auction company is selling your stamps and the person asks for an extension to have it certified, that delays the payment that you're going to get from the auction company.
By many months.
Right.
I know people who had not been paid for 6 months. I know people who had to wait for 6 months to get their money. Because they were being, you know, the person filed an extension.
Right. And they're waiting for it to clear.
Yep. And, I mean, today, PSE, PSAG, we're all pretty quick. But in the olden days, it could take 6 months easily to get a cert. And it just killed your ability to get money out of an auction quickly. So, Mark, when do you think that a stamp should be submitted and not?
Well, certainly if it's a stamp that is frequently faked, it's something that, and it doesn't have a cert, then it's something that you definitely want to have certified, whether you're the buyer or the seller, because if it's something like a PERF 12 flat plate coil, if you didn't buy it first with a certificate, no dealer is going to offer you any serious amount of money unless it has a certificate when you go to sell it. And of course, if you're going to buy it, something like that, you definitely want a certificate to make sure it's real.
And I'd go further. Let's say you are actually an expert and you know the provenance, or you had an expert tell you this stamp is absolutely real. The problem is that verbal opinion does not follow the stamp. The certificate is a piece of paper that can follow the stamp. So, like I said, if you are going to be selling it, now, if it's just sitting in your collection, don't submit it for a cert unless you actually have a question on it. I wonder if this is real. I already own the stamp. I am not going to buy it. I can't return it because I bought it too long ago or something. You know, maybe I want to confirm that it really belongs in this spot. But realistically, there's no reason for you to submit a stamp at that point.
Now, I recently bought a stamp from an auction. This was a Scott number 365, which is a 13-cent blue paper, never hinge condition, catalog $6,000. It has a certificate from the PF in the 1980s, and it has a certificate from the PSC in the 2000s. So one from about 40 years ago, one from about 20 years ago. I'm going to go ahead and get it certified again because there are things that can happen to a stamp in the intervening 20 years since the last certificate. So for something like that, I'm buying it. I'm getting the certificate now when I newly bought the stamp just to make sure that nothing's happened to it.
Somebody didn't put a pair of tongs through it or something,
right.
which we actually... We got one from, this was a while ago, Siegel. Siegel returned a stamp to us and was really, really pissed and said, "You missed, there's a hole in this stamp." And we said, "We did not miss that there's a hole in the stamp. Send it to us." And so they sent it to us, and there was a hole in the stamp. And it was clearly like somebody in their viewing room had put their stamp tongs through the stamp.
Ugh.
And we're sitting there going, "Dude, we did not do this. This happened on your watch." And so, you know, it was grumbling back and forth. And they were a good customer. They still are, obviously. So I think we gave them some sort of a big credit or something because, you know, to save face. But otherwise, you know, that stuff just not going to do it. But, I mean, picture the person buying the stamp. And, you know, 20 years later, they submit the stamp and they go, "Well, there's a hole in it."
Right.
It's like, yeah, it was somebody put their stamp tongue through it after they, it was certified.
Viewing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have a comment on grading. I think that, first of all, if a stamp is really, really super nice, a graded certificate really improves things. Like, I saw a person just recently with a U.S. number 210, the 2-cent brown stamp, and he got a grade 100 on it. Now, this stamp catalogs $1.25, I think maybe 85 cents, something. It catalogs really low. It sold at auction for $1,200. So be aware that whether you like grading or hate grading or whatever, grading is a thing. It's a thing in coin collecting. It's grading. It's a thing in cars. Watches. Everything. You know, they want the nicer items. I think that there's a big mistake people are making though on classic stamps from 1869 and before. They put down their minimum grade is grade 80. And grade 80 means that it will sell for the listed Scott catalog value. So if it lists for $400, grade 80, you should expect $400 for it. Grade 75, by definition, and this is not by any means a rule, sells for half Scott's catalog value. So people are putting like a minimum of grade 80, and they really should be putting a minimum of grade 75 or even 70, because people, and the same thing happened with coin collecting, the exact same thing happened. People are going to start collecting the lower grades. They just want to know what the grade is. They want to know what the stamp is.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that if you have a graded stamp 70, 75, and there's nothing else on the certificate, that tells you it's a sound stamp. And especially for 19th century issues, just the fact that the stamp is sound makes it collectible.
Yep. Yeah, so a sound grade 75 U.S. number one sells for far more than half catalog, just FYI. So that's grading side. But more than that, you know, if you're selling this, if it's a really nice stamp, may as well slap a grade on it because it doesn't cost anything extra. But for identification, I was on Facebook, and a person had completed his set and put his album page up, and it had a number 519 on it. And it was like, is that 519 real? And he goes, oh, yeah, it's real. It's got a certificate. Now, that works because 519s are notorious. Oh, Scott just walked in. We're talking about U.S. number 519s.
Ah, hello.
Well, actually, we're talking about certificates.
Oh, well.
But I was commenting that 519s are notoriously faked.
Yes, they are. For whatever reason, I think, well, obviously because they're rare, but...
Yeah, they're hard to find.
But I think it's also because the material that you can make them out of is actually fairly common.
Yeah. If you get an imperforated 2 TWO cent Washington head, you can slap some fake perfs on it.
Well, you have to check the watermark, too.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, another stamp that you really have to be wary of is 578 and 579, which is the rotary pressed coil waste issue.
Yep.
The problem is with that is that if you take, 598 and 599.
597 and 599.
Oh, 597 599. The coil stamps, which are relatively cheap and just perf 11 top and bottom, you can pass them off as 578, 579. And even though those stamps, I think, in never-inch condition, like maybe a couple hundred bucks catalog value, yeah. But a dealer will automatically count them as zero because they're just going to assume.
Yep.
You know, that it's... That
well, they
fake.
Have to because it's so easy to do it. But one clue is if it looks small, it probably is for a reason.
Well, I have a stamp that you should not be submitting, 596. We get
well, you should submit them if they're genuine.
Yeah. Good luck there. And here at PSE, we have a double whammy on it. First of all, people shouldn't be submitted. 596 is... the 1 cent Franklin stamp. It's all over the internet. It says this stamp is worth $1 million, or excuse me, $100,000. And it looks exactly like the other stamps of the issue, which they printed 3.2 billion with a B of them. And so everybody can find the common ones and they go, oh, well, look at this. I found this common stamp. It's worth $100,000. I'm like, no, it's not. We put out a YouTube. If you want to do a search for it, it's U.S. number 594, 596, 1 cent Franklin. Type that in on YouTube, and you'll see our YouTube on it. But for here at PSE, we get a double whammy because then we will charge them, and we charge them $25 because that's what we charge for that stamp when it's fake. And the people never pay.
So we've done all the work.
Yeah.
We've paid... our employees, but we haven't gotten any money.
So they know.
And now we have a stamp that's basically worth nothing.
So they know, the submitter knows that it's going to be $600 if it's real. So when they see a $25 bill, they go, oh, well, it must have been fake. I'm not paying. And we have, I'm going to say many that, you know, we just have no way of getting the money from the person. So, you know, just don't submit them. I mean, everybody who's listening to this podcast is a stamp collector. If you're not a stamp collector, then I'm guessing you're into torture. But if you're a stamp collector, you know how rare a 596 is. People on the internet just cruising around don't know that. So don't submit your 596s. Watch the video first. How about you, Scott? What shouldn't people submit?
People shouldn't submit fake stamps.
People shouldn't submit stamps until after they've dipped them.
That is true.
That is true.
Well, because, as you know, in real estate, location is everything. Well, in stamps, condition is everything. I mean, you can have a rare stamp, but if it's got a whole bunch of faults and it's only three quarters there, it's not worth a whole lot of money. I mean, you're probably looking at you know, a $10,000+ stamp to actually be worthwhile submitting if it's damaged significantly.
Yeah, and that doesn't occur.
I mean, it does occasionally. I've had submitters call up and we'll charge based on market value for the condition, even though it might have a catalog value of $20,000, but the market value might only be $1,000.
Yeah.
And so, well, I'm not going to pay $600 for a stamp that's only worth $1,000. Okay, well, how about we base the fee on $1,000, because that's actually what it's worth. And, oh, okay, I'll pay $50 for a certificate on that.
When I was a much younger collector, much younger, I had a Hawaii number 13, which is the 13 cent with the number 5 written on it.
A 7?
A 7,
yeah. Oh, a 7. Anyway, it was an ugly stamp. And I sent it to the PF because PSE didn't exist then. And I ended up paying close to $200 for the cert. And then I sold the stamp because it was so ugly and damaged. I got $200 for the stamp. So the PF made all the money. And it's all because, you know, on the other side, the stamp didn't really have any value without a certificate because, you know.
Right.
But at a certain point, it was like it was so faulty that.
Right. And that's something that the PF and the APS and generally don't do, is they generally don't negotiate the cert fee based on the value of the actual stamp. When you have a rare stamp like that that's significantly worth less than the catalog value, I'd rather see it with a certificate on it so that it can actually be out there in the marketplace rather than not being able to get the certificate because the certificate fee is either more or significant portion of what the stamp's worth in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, we have, we even put a name on it. We call it PCF, poorly centered faulty. And so we have a maximum fee of $200, $250. We have a maximum. We get so few, but $250. And you know, instead of, you know, if you submitted a really crappy 596 and it was actually a 596.
But if
you could look at a 250 fee instead of 600.
A big thin and two creases and a small tear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously not worth catalog value,
right,
but it has to have a certificate to be worth anything in the market because, you know, no dealer's going to look at that and go, oh, that's a 596. I'll pay money for that.
Yeah.
No, they know. You have to have a certificate to sell it. So, at that point, it's worth negotiating the certificate fees so that you can get the certificate. But like I said, the APS and the PF, the Philatelic Foundation, just seem to be unwilling to negotiate those fees.
Well, I have seen the PF negotiate. I remember...
It depends who you talk to there. Yeah.
Well, Dick Seller, I remember he bought number 5, which is a multi-$100,000 stamp. But back then, it was just a $100,000 stamp. He bought it out of a dealer stock for $19. And it was... It was very poorly centered, and so he couldn't afford the cert. He flat out could not afford the cert, and the PF said, "Oh yeah, we'll cert it for you. We'll give you a break on it." And so it still cost him a couple hundred bucks, but it didn't. Back then, it would have cost him like I forget what it was, $1,000 for the cert or something like that. You have to realize that certificate fees have dropped dramatically since 1998. I mean,
well, they've dropped and they've gone up. The Philatelic Foundation used to have a maximum fee of $600, and their maximum fee is much higher now.
They
at least $1,000.
No, they have a maximum fee of $1,000.
No, I remember because a few years ago I was talking with Stanley Piller, and he was on the board, and he's the one that proposed and pushed through the raising of their maximum fee.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But that's a thing. You know, you got to take the costs into effect with a stamp. If you have a really expensive stamp and it's really faulty, it could very easily be that you send it to somebody and, you know, just get a letter with it. You know, they'll handwrite out a little letter or something.
Well, you also have to consider that, you know, some experts work alone. And so they have much lower overhead than a company like PSE, who actually
has
multiple
PF,
people look at.
Yeah, we can't do that.
Right. They have multiple people look at the certificate at the stamp before they issue the certificate. So they, you know, these people have to be compensated for their efforts.
But yeah, like you put a stamp up on Twitter or Facebook, and you say, "Hey, what do you think of this stamp?" And somebody goes, "Hey, that looks good. It's crap condition, but it looks good." You know, that may be good enough to have something value.
I know some of the Facebook groups and some of the other social media channels. There are actually people with a depth of knowledge that you can get fairly accurate opinions. Yeah. As a preliminary to submitting an item, and
well, I'm putting myself in that category,
and sometimes, you know, as I would think, especially for items that are overprinted or surcharged, you know, a decent resolution scan posted on one of these boards that where these guys hang out is worth way more, because they'll screen out, you know, 80% or 90% of the fakes.
Yep.
Because they have the knowledge, and a lot of them can do it just on site. They don't even have to go grab a book.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, whereas you send it to an expertizing firm, and yeah, they're going to actually do all the work, but you know, they're going to document everything.
Well,
but it's going to take a lot longer.
Yeah.
Well, what if you're, say, a novice collector? You have a collection of stamps, none of them have certificates, but your pride and joy out of your collection is you've got a Scott number 122, the 90-cent issue, and it's kind of soiled and kind of faulty. Is that something that that is worth getting a certificate?
Mint or used?
Used. Cat's $2,000.
I wouldn't.
Well, that depends. I would get an opinion. You know, take it to a local dealer. Take it to... you know, get their opinion on the condition of the stamp. Do you think, you know, what's the condition? Is it sound? Is it well centered?
Well, a faulty my magic number, okay? I have a magic number in my head of $350. If it's a $2,000 faulty stamp, it's worth about 10% of catalog.
Right.
That's $200. That's below my $350 magic number.
Right. I agree. But it depends on how faulty. I mean, if it's just got a corner crease,
No.
that's not a big deduction. But if it's reperforated on two sides and has a huge thin, then, yeah.
Well, let's talk about not the reperforated, because a novice, like you said, won't be able to tell.
No, if you show it to a dealer, a lot of, sometimes a dealer can just look at it and go, that's, the stamp is way too small. It's got to be reperforated. Yeah. Because, they've handled a number of them, and so they have a general idea of how big the stamp should be. And a lot of times they can just look at the stamp and go, that's not right.
Well, I mean, we're talking about percentages. The whole thing that brought this topic up is my set here of Washington Bicentennial plate blocks. I paid 28% of catalog for it. So, even with everything certified as mint never hinge genuine, I'm still only at, about 25% of catalog.
Yeah, the certificates in this case did not really add anything to the value.
No, because, again, they were never faked. And what are the dates on these certificates? Because I'll bet you they predate grading also. Yeah, these are from 2008. So in 2008, grading was a thing, but the PF, and these are PF certs, PF wasn't grading back then.
If they were, they were not. They had just started. Yeah, that's that, because that's a time when PSE grading was really, really just exploding.
Yeah, 2000. I'm going to say PSE is weird. I'm going to break it into two sections: the pre-2005, where there was huge growth, but the algorithm wasn't like really as fine tuned as it is now.
Well, they only started grading in maybe 2003.
Oh, no. 2000. I'm going to say 98.
No. I've never seen a grade that old.
Oh, really?
Yep. Oh, okay. 2001 maybe was, I think, when they started actually putting grades on certificates.
Because it all came out of coins. Because coins, right. Coins started grading in 1989.
Right.
So, we're late to the game. And of course, stamps and baseball cards both started at about the same time, except that baseball cards just exploded. I mean, now, people collect stamps easily that don't have grades. People just ignore baseball cards that don't have grades. They're valueless.
What actually amazed me, because I worked there at Collector's Universe for a little while, and what amazed me is what in talking to some of the card grading guys, they had never thought to actually measure the size of the card to see if it had been trimmed. Yeah. And when I brought that up, because we had been dealing with the White Plains souvenir sheet, which frequently gets trimmed because it's of its size, just to kind of clean up the edges. And when I brought that up, it's like the light bulbs went on all over the place, and they started identifying all these high grade cars that had been just slightly trimmed to clean up the edges, and they took a real big hit at that time, because altered cards had been graded very highly, but they got over that hump. But it was something that I had just in passing. They had never considered it, and I said, "Well, that's duh. That's just common sense. Why don't you measure the card to make sure it's the right size?" Yep. But they had never thought of that.
Yep.
So having those different divisions in the same building was actually helpful in certain areas.
Well, tell them about the VSC. Because that was a different division that we just
subsumed. That was PSA DNA, and they never realized that if you put a UV light, just a UV light, not even the VSC, just a UV light on a baseball, you could see removed signatures. there were, like I said, it's common sense. Use the tools that you have that are inexpensive and available.
Well, the whole thing is that,
and then they started using the VSC, and then they bring in the paper money, and they start seeing repairs and other things, and so then they had to run out and get them a really high end VSC, much newer than the one I was using, but you know, passing knowledge back and forth of how to identify these different things under using these different tools was actually a very good experience.
Well, I would say that I'm going to put it at 2005 because that's before 2008 and some other stuff, but expertizing before 2005 and after 2005, probably 75% of it is exactly the same. 25% of it is totally different because of the equipment that's available now. So,
well, there's that. And then I would say, because in 2005, the PSE grading formula was only under development.
Yeah.
It was not actually in use. And so up through maybe 2007 or 8, the grading can be a little bit inconsistent. And then for the classics, I would extend that even a little bit further.
Well, I see this all the time. And by the way, if you want to catch me on Facebook, the name that I use on Facebook is Ed. My actual name is Edward Cashmere Breifus. So it's Ed Cashmere, and then I dropped the last name because nobody can spell it. So if you look for Ed Cashmere, that's me, and, you know, post stuff or look at what I have or whatever. But people will post a stamp, and there's actual grading stuff, and they'll show a stamp, and they'll say, what do you think the grade is? And my comment is always, measure it. It's not magic. You know, we don't have a magic wand here that we wave over it. We measure the stamp and figure out what grade it is.
Well,
and people are just like amazed that that's actually how it's done.
Well, but you also have to remember that there's a lot of science that goes into grading a stamp. But after the science is applied, then you have the art of grading. And that's something that we were discussing today. We were looking at a very nice $5 Prexy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's printed in two colors. Well, if the colors aren't properly aligned and, you know, the central vignette is slightly shifted or significantly shifted, that affects the grade in an eye appeal way. That's the art of grading. Measuring the borders of the stamp is not going to tell you tell you about that part of the grade.
Well, that's the thing with baseball cards. Now, we're talking about baseball cards printing like in the 1980s and before.
Well, you get one that's fresh off the press, and then you get one that's been sitting in a window. It's faded. I mean,
no, it's more than that. It's, you have a baseball card, and it's perfectly centered. And it's got nice, clean, sharp edges. And you go, this is a 10. Because they go on, instead of going on grade of 1 to 100, they go on a 1 to 10. And then they have half grade. So you'll have like an 8.5, 9, 9.5, et cetera. And you look at it and you go, God, this is a gorgeous one. This has got to be a 10. And they never turn it over and look at the back and say, oh, the back is totally off center. And the back of the card will drop it a grade or two. And so your 10 from the front turns out to be an 8 or an 8.5 because of the back.
Well, that's a good point. Now, with the self-adhesive stamps, when you separate them from the sheet, a lot of times sometimes the sheets are not, the backing paper is not rouletted or perforated, but a lot of times they are. And so if you fold them back and break them along the rouletting in the backing paper, a lot of times the backing paper will be slightly misaligned with the die cuts on the front of the stamp. And so, yes, that can affect the eye appeal and the grade of the stamp.
By a lot.
Even though that is totally normal.
Yep.
And, you know, so when you have a stamp and you've done that, you've broken out a single and you've got the, and it's off center, the backing paper's off center like that. If that backing paper extends out past the die cuts on one side, you're going to lose at least 2 grades.
Yep.
At least 2 grades because it's an eye appeal deduction.
And then people will peel it off and better center it, and they don't realize it. When that stamp is put on that backing paper, it indents the backing paper.
Yes.
So you can tell that the stamp has been moved.
Yes.
So, you know, it's...
And the other thing I've seen is somebody will take like an X-Acto knife, and they'll actually trim off the excess on the one side. So they haven't moved the backing paper, but now they've damaged the backing paper. So, yeah. I mean, there's all these things that can cause damage or deductions. And so you just kind of, you just have to, that's what makes the highest grades more valuable.
Yeah, it's not like.
Because they're harder to find.
Yeah. A lot of people go, well, you know, if I want a grade 100, I'll just go down to the post office and buy one.
So and tell me, like, why does a grade 100 never hinge stamp Washington Franklin worth more than a grade 100 lightly hinge stamp? Well, it's the same thing. You know, it's the backing paper, yeah. Right? The value is different.
Yeah.
The value is different.
So, Mark, anything else? Because you sell a good number of graded stamps.
Yeah.
I do not sell any grade. Well, I shouldn't say any. I sell very, very, very few because being associated with the company, I mean, that opens me up to, oh, yeah, sure. You're grading your own stamps. You overgraded them. So I avoid the whole thing by not selling them. But you.
Right. I would say that that people are not specifically looking only for high grade stamps. People are willing to also look for stamps that are grade 90, you know, or 85, because they know they're getting maybe not the best centered, but certainly the highest quality.
And real, genuine.
Right, and a genuine stamp. And
nice quality is really what it is.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who, when I talk to them at stamp shows, they want a minimum of grade 80 in their collection. But above 80, it's like, you know, they'll find a 98 or something like that, and that'll be great. But they just want 80s.
Well, they'll pay for 80s. They won't pay for 98s. But if they find one, that's great.
Yeah.
And the hard part about it is finding a certified graded 80 or 85 or even 90s in some cases can be difficult because of the cost of the certificate versus the cost of the ungraded stamp. And so, I mean, it's difficult. It's hard for us to charge less because we have to pay for our employees and for the whole process. But at the same time, we understand we'd like to see, you know, somebody get put together their entire Prexy set. And if they want 85s and 90s, that's great. But I just can't charge a low enough price to make that financially viable.
Well, just
they're out there because people make mistakes.
Yeah, just entering the stamp into our system. Now, no one has looked at it yet. The only person who has done it is they have opened up the envelope, taken the stamp out, and entered it onto the computer.
Well, a lot of times they have to put them on cards.
Well, if the card costs extra. So if it's just that, removing it and entering into the system, we calculate that that's about $1.50 of cost. It's actually more. But, you know, when you picture that, you know, just because we're a company, it costs $1.50 just to enter it into the system before an expert even touches it, you know, it sort of... It puts you on warning that, you know, you can lose money on getting certificates, so you have to be smart about it.
I mean, there's plenty of stamps where we lose money. Because it takes much, much more effort than what we're charging.
Right. Well, yeah, what'll happen is we'll get a stamp, and it'll be something really specialized, and so we have to send it to a person. And it's just like one stamp that we're sending to the person. And so it gets FedExed over to them, FedExed back. It's $34
each way.
No, it, both ways.
Both ways. Okay.
Both ways. $34 round trip. So right off the bat, it's a specialized item. They had to have somebody looking at it. $34.
Our minimum fee on that's $40.
Yeah.
By the way, which means all the processing, the scanning, the opening the package, preparing the worksheet. Well, just all that.
Like I said, opening the package, $1.50. So we're at $35.50.
Right. Right. So we're, you know, we're going to be well over $40.
Yeah.
So. We're hoping that item turns out to be a very expensive item, and so our fee will be higher. But in reality, if it's less than $800 catalog value, our fee is $40, and we've lost money.
Yep. Yep. So if you want to go into the expertizing business, be aware. Anyway, anything else? Then keep collecting.
We need your help. Nothing on the internet is free, including our phone and internet connections. So you can support the podcast by joining the Stamp Show Here Today Club. The cost is $10 for a lifetime membership. Please include your APS member number, as we are an APS affiliated club. Your support is greatly appreciated. Our brand new spanking address is 5965 Harrison Drive, Suite 6 in Las Vegas, Nevada, 89120.
You left out the word glorious.
Fabulous.
Because you don't put that on the letter.
Oh. Well, you could.
You could, yeah.
You could, yeah.
Well, kids, that's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank Sideshow Mel, Corporal Punishment, Gina Ballerina, Owen from Knots Landing, Miss Donna Mills. Oh, she was a sport. We've had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of fun, but now the time has come to go. If this silkworm was found dead in his bed tomorrow, I'd be in heaven still doing this show. See you some other time!
Stamp collecting happens when we dream together.